Good morning again. There, that got your attention. Longer you talk, longer I preach. Now, I know everybody's got a lot of catching up to do. Feels good to be outside. It's supposed to be in the 50s today, in the 60s a couple days. I'm ready for this snow to melt off. I thank God for the nitrogen it puts in the soil, but I thank him for the temperatures that's going to melt it off real quick. I'm tired of looking at snow. I'm tired of cold. Well, that being said, we're still talking about love. I left the title, Love Is, and there's a reason for that. Next week, we're going to talk about love lost. Text will be out of Matthew 24. This morning, I took the text out of what's called the Beatitudes. Very familiar text, and probably one of the most difficult things I think the Lord's asked his people to do. Father, I thank you for your word. I know it's truth. I thank you for those who could come out today to hear your word. And Lord, I pray that I will decrease, that you will increase. Holy Spirit, take the truth of this to our hearts. Convict us where we need it, Lord. Strengthen and encourage us also. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48, the Lord says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." In last week's text, out of 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul was talking about what love is, and it's the love that God has for his people and we're to have for one another. And Jesus takes it a step further today. We're to have this love for those outside the church. He went as far as to say our enemies. Now, Paul described love in last week's text, Christian love, the love of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Father. Love is patient and kind. I got to work on that. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. That word that Paul used, I told you last week, was agape. And the Greek language has several words for love. I'm not going to go into that. But the word that's used, the agape, from what I've read in the commentaries and the language concordance, this was the closest thing to God's love in the Greek language when they talked about the love of God. And it means affection. But the word also means a will to do good for others. It's called benevolence. And I think that today I would like you, if you will, to look at that, the word love in that context. Because I got to be honest with you, the first time I read where Jesus said, love your enemies, I said, well, I got a problem with that. And I read the Satanic Bible and I got convicted, believe it or not, because they agreed with me. That's what convicted me. A lady gave me it. I was in a church. I wasn't in ministry. I was in a church, and her husband had bought it, and she snuck it out of the house and gave it to me and said, I'm afraid he's going to try something with this, so I know you read here, you read it. So I read it. But Anton LaVey said the reason Satanists love the devil is because he understands our weaknesses, and he doesn't rebuke us. He doesn't expect us to change. But God's the one that created us with jealousy, anger, hatred, all these emotions, but he tells us we can't practice that. And I got convicted because I thought, man, I've had that attitude. The Anton LaVey said, as a Satanist, if you treat me well, I will treat you well. If you are lovely to me, I will be lovely to you. But if you're not lovely to me, stay out of my way. And I had that attitude. And I was a younger Christian then. So when the Lord talks about love your enemies, if you will, take it in the context of the word benevolence, the will to do good. It's easier for me to accept it this way. Because Jesus is not saying you just need to have this affection for your enemies. Now, affection develops in the church, it should. And I got to make a correction. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world," and the word is agapeo. And I always thought that meant that he just loved them in a social or moral sense, which, according to Dr. Strong, that's what it means. But that word's used in the Greek to say so much. So very much. So God loved, so very much loved the world. So very much loved you and I. But in all honesty, I don't have the affection that he does, especially for an enemy. But I have come to the conclusion as a believer, I can will to do good for my enemies. So let's keep that in the context. This is what I think the Lord's talking about. He uses the same word that Paul did. So Paul talked about the love that Christians are to have for each other. And Jesus is using this same word. And he says, you have heard that it was said. That was the teaching of his day. The Pharisees had added a lot of traditions to the law. Jesus rebuked them for that. He said, you've taken the commandments of God and made them null by your doctrines. We got to watch that, church. The older I get, and don't take this wrong, the less use I have for theologians. Because the more I read theology, the more I see man-made dogma and doctrine. And I don't care how many tags you got on the end of your name, it doesn't make you a Christian. There are people that study theology just to study theology, just as a science. Jesus used the word here, agape. We've established that. When we came to Christ, the Bible says that we receive power to become the children of God. That's what one translation says. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk in love as Christ loved us. Christ's love, number one, was for the Father. I'll defend that till the day I die. You know, people say, well, Jesus went to the cross just for you. Jesus went to the cross because it was the Father's will for him to go to the cross. It was for you and it was for me. But sometimes we try to make that love something it's not. And we try to use that to appeal to people, to bring them to Christ. He just loves you so very much. And he does love you. But Jesus showed us the love that we're to show to our enemies, is my point, because it was his will to do good for us. And God's love, his will, is to do good for us. Somebody asked in Bible study a while back, we were talking about the love of God and the anger. Well, how can God be both? He's God. God chooses to love us. Is he angry? Yes. God hates sin. But God, in his love for you and for me, wills to do good for us. He sent his son to the cross to die for our sins so we wouldn't have to die. That second death, the lake of fire. So when Jesus says, love your enemies, he's not asking you or me to do anything he hasn't already done. You have to think about that. Do you think Jesus had affection for the Pharisees when they were in his face? I don't think he did. In fact, he called them snakes, hypocrites, whitewashed walls. He said, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? And he didn't have his arms around him, giving a big old sloppy kiss when he said that. But his will was that those men could be saved too. See, that's why he came. So keep this in the context. I'm not getting sidetracked. I'm getting a little wound up, but I'm not getting sidetracked. Too many times, and like I said, I was the same way. The first time I remember Jesus said, love your enemies. I said, oh man, I can't do that. I won't do that. Be honest with you, I'm not going to do that. You love me, I love you. You like me, I like you. You be a butthead to me, I'm going to be a butthead to you. That's human nature. That's our selfish nature. You want me to treat you right, you treat me right. That's not what Jesus said. The Pharisees, the people that taught the law, had taken the law and said, well, you know, yeah, we're supposed to love our neighbor, but it's okay to hate your enemies. And Jesus said, no. Think about it. We were his enemies, weren't we? Unless you're a little better off than I am. I was his enemy. So were you. I don't care if your biggest sin was kicking the cat. You were the enemy of God. I know I shouldn't use that. Some of these ASCPA-minded people are probably, how come you're always picking on cats? Kick the dog, slap your wife, whatever you want to use. The fact is, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. The Bible says while we were his enemies, he died for us. Why? Because God wanted to demonstrate that love. Okay. So Jesus said, love your enemies. He doesn't mean that I have to be fond of my enemies. He said, will to do good for your enemies. Have a good will towards your enemies. And he elaborates, he says, pray for them. And that doesn't mean I pray, God, strike them with baldness, athlete's foot, and blindness. You know, that's not what the Lord means. I had a minister years ago when I was a baby Christian. We talked about this, and he gave me some good advice. He said, Rick, when you're angry at somebody, pray for them because it's hard to hang on to unforgiving feelings if you start praying for God to bless them. And he's right. And it can cause a shift to your attitude. And if you have any Holy Spirit in you, it'll make you ashamed of your attitude, to be honest with you. Yeah. Now, Jesus didn't say, this is a cinch, guys, it's easy. Anybody can do it. That's not what he said. You remember the line there at the end? He said, you be perfect like your heavenly Father. Boy, I've heard that batted around for years. Nobody but God can be perfect. Yea, verily, brother, we just do the best we can. The Greek word there, and I may pronounce this wrong, is teleos. And what it means is to be perfect, to be mature. And it also means to be more perfect. Now, in the tense of this context, in the text of this context, I think that's what Jesus meant because he was saying, you got to be better than the world when it comes to loving. Now, I'm not God. And I don't understand how God could love me when I was shooting up meth and doing all that other vile stuff I was doing, but he did. Not that he was affectionate, but he wanted to do good for me. And Jesus, he's talking here about going the extra mile, Christian. If you read the previous verses, he said, if somebody forces you to go to mile, go two. If they sue you at court and take away your coat, give them your shirt. Wait a minute. That's easy for you because you're Jesus and you're supposed to love that way. This isn't a suggestion, church. It's a command. It is. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? If our righteousness doesn't exceed that of the Pharisees, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now you're going back to law. No, I'm not going back to law. You remember when the Lord got done teaching this, the scriptures say the people were amazed because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes and Pharisees. Why? Because he has the authority. He's done it. He came here and loved us. He still loves us in spite of all of our faults. Remember what Paul said last week? put up with one another's faults. Oh, bad, Paul, but some people got some faults, man. It's hard for me to put up with. But it makes me wonder how God feels when he looks at me sometimes. Been a Christian 41 years and you still ain't got past that. Now, Jesus didn't say it was easy, did he? Oh, it's easy, man. Just love people. And he's not talking about giving a big, mushy, affectionate hug and kiss. And I just love you so much. But what he's talking about, will to do good. Be willing to do good even for those people who hate you and persecute you. You know what that means? Sometimes keep your mouth shut. My mama used to tell me, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything. Well, mama, there was times I might have went 2 days and not said a word if I'd listened to that. But really, I'm not saying this is easy. Don't look at me like, well, you think you've already arrived. No. If you think it's rough, you should have got it when I got it. Because I've been the one studying this all week and thinking about it and reading about it and praying about it. Yeah. You know what I've had to admit? Whew, man, I don't know how to love like you do. I haven't been loving the way you love. I haven't been showing love to my enemies. Believe it or not, I got some enemies. I can't believe somebody as cool as I am got enemies, but I know I got some. But hey, what do you do when people get hateful? Do you get hateful back? Jesus said, don't do that. Somebody runs you down, do you want to run them back down? Somebody's snotty to you, you're going to be snotty to them? What did Jesus say? No. You be better than that. Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Man, that was a bad word then when he compared them to tax collectors. They were the most hated group in the Jews. He said, even the tax collectors love people that love him. I can see the butts squirming in the pews when Jesus was talking. I call it a butt walk. You can see people just tick, 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 tick. They could walk on their hind end if you cut their legs off because they're under such conviction, you know. And I see this happening on the mount. They were sitting on the grass and I could just see whole crowds shifting. He said, you think you love? The tax collectors love like it. And then he gives them another gig. He says, even the Gentiles do. Oh, man, the Gentiles, the dogs. What's Jesus doing? Is he putting these people down? He's calling them up. He's calling them to a higher standard. He's saying, look, if you want to love the way God loves, and you should want to love the way God loves, you're going to have to love your enemies. You're going to have to be willing to do good for them. I'm watching the clock because I know y'all's hungry. Jesus prayed for the people that beat him bloody, spit in his face, pulled out his beard, and then drove nails in his hands. He said, Father, please forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. And that wasn't some just religious thing Jesus shot off. He meant it. Benevolence. I almost pictured that the Father was, I couldn't watch somebody do that to one of my kids and just be sitting there with a big dumb grin on my face. I think the Father was maybe a little irritated. I'm speculating. But what did Jesus say? He intervened. That's called intercession. He could have said, you know what? They're not worth it. Remember what he said to Peter in the garden when he cut that dude's ear off? He said, Peter, don't you know I could call to my Father and he would send 12 legions of angels? There's 6,000 in a legion, so that's 72,000 angels. That 10,000 angels, I guess 72 wouldn't fit in that song, but you get the picture. Jesus said, Peter, I could stop this anytime I want to. It was love that held him to that cross, church. It wasn't nails. And after those people had done that to him, he prayed for them. When's the last time you prayed for someone that you don't like personally? When's the last time you prayed for someone that you are just having trouble forgiving? Unforgiveness is one of the biggest tools that the devil has to use against the church, because sometimes we don't recognize it. I have a right to be angry. You don't know what they did to me. Well, I'm sorry. I've heard some pretty bad stories out of people, things that happened to them. But you know what? God didn't put a stanza or a clause in there and say, unless they did this to you, then you don't have to forgive them. That's not what he said. He said, if you don't forgive them, I won't forgive you. Whew. So aren't we better off to start praying? If we have unforgiveness, I've been praying that the last couple of days. Is there anyone in my heart, God, I haven't forgiven? Bring it out. Unforgiveness causes bitterness. Paul said bitterness defiles us. Now, I'm sorry I got off track. I don't think I did. I think the Spirit dropped that in there. Jesus said, love those who persecute you. Pray for them. There was one Roman emperor, and I can't call his name, but when persecution was going on in the Roman colonies, he put a stop to it, and he told the colonists, you stop that. These people pray for me, and my empire succeeds because of their prayers. You leave those Christians alone. Those were people evidently that believed, yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I run Biden down. I run his administration down. I had no use for him or any of those cronies, but I didn't pray for them, and I should have. As a Christian, God said to pray for them. When the Jews were in captivity in Babylon, what did he say through Jeremiah? You better pray for their prosperity, because if they prosper, you'll prosper. You want me to pray? Well, I don't have to do now because he's not there anymore. But I'm being honest with you. I have trouble loving. And it's not a suggestion. It's a command. Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for them. I'm about done. Peter spent 3 years with Jesus as a disciple following him. And this is what Peter said about his rabbi. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. He didn't mouth off. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Yeah, but he was Jesus, man. You know, the Son of God. God was his Father. Jesus, God in the flesh. He was also God the Son, the servant, who had to be filled with the Holy Spirit just like you and I. Now, he was filled beyond measure, without measure, the Scriptures say. But he was reviled. He was pushed. He was threatened. And Peter said he didn't fight back. The apostles followed Jesus' example, and they encouraged others to do the same. Paul said to the church of Corinth, when reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. I have a problem with that. I want to bite back. I want to shoot off at the mouth. I'm being honest with you. But according to what the Lord said, that's not Christian love. We live in a society of entitlement today, and it sickens me. I'm being honest with you. You can't turn the television on without somebody talking about my rights. I'm entitled. And I'm going to say something some of you are not going to like. That's all right. Just forgive me. If you are a black lesbian woman in this country, man, that's 3 strikes against you. That's how they treat it. Oh, you're a woman, poor thing. And you're black, ooh. And you're a lesbian, wow. Everybody's against you. You got all these entitlements. I don't agree with that. We live in a society of entitlements. I got rights. Jesus had rights, and he laid every one of them down. I remember a class that this teacher was teaching at a church I was in. It was a youth group, and we had kids coming in. They were smoking weed. I mean, they smoke cigarettes. They use foul language. And I was in the pastor's office one day, and she came in there, and she slammed her book and said, I don't have to take this. He said, take what? That attitude they have. I don't have to take it. I said, you're right. But Jesus came to call the sinners. You ought to be glad they're here. Well, I'm not going to take it. Well, the pastor said, all right, Rick. It was his wife. He said, all right, Rick, she'll take the good kids. It was his daughter and two of her friends. And you can have the bad kids. There was about 13 or 14 bad kids. I said, give them here. I used to be one of the bad kids. I understand the bad kids. That's not love, church. I don't have to take that. We all get frustrated. Believe me, all of us. And if you're ever in ministry very long, frustration seems to be a way of life a lot of times. You just want to throw your hands up and say, God, I'm done. But the smart thing to do is when you hit your knees and say, God, I can't do this by myself. So when Jesus tells us to love our enemies, he will love through us if we allow that. That's what he's talking about. Be better than the world. That takes work. I'm going to close. Paul said to the church at Rome, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul's quoting here from Proverbs 25. Solomon wrote, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. I've talked to people over the years, and when I was a baby Christian, and they try to explain this, and I've had people go, well, see, you heap God's judgment on them. But that's not what he's talking about. The picture here is that of the high priest who on the Day of Atonement took his censer and filled it with coals of fire from the altar of burnt offering. And he would put the incense on it. When he would go into the Holy of Holies, that smoke coming off the incense would make a sweet smelling fragrance and a cloud that would cover the mercy seat. And that it was acceptable to God for atonement. That's what the picture is. Remember Paul said Jesus offered himself as a sweet smelling fragrance to God on our behalf. God saying, now you do the same. Samuel Wesley wrote, so artist melt the sullen ore of lead by heaping coals of fire upon its head. In the kind warmth, the metal learns to glow, and pure from the dross, the silver runs below. That's what God was talking about. Pouring those coals of fire on their head. Church, you never know who you're going to influence. You never know. The love that we're to show for others is the love God has shown to us. Now, I entitled this love is, in this context, think about this, love is unmerited. They're not giving you any reason to love them, but what Jesus say, love them anyway. At least be willing to do good for them. Would you stand with me this morning? If you've got convicted over this as much as I have, boy, we got some praying to do. As individuals. Jesus didn't say it's easy. He didn't say it was a snapper, it was a breeze. But what he did say, you need to do it. You need to be better than the world.